Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 14th chapter, and we hear this verse. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I don't know if you guys heard, but I guess there's an election today. Political analyst the other night on the news was being asked the question, how come it seems like negative advertising increases? The ads seem to get worse and more nasty the closer we get to election day. And he said there's an actual reason for that. And he had worked inside of campaigns. And he said people in the campaign process believe that less educated voters wait and wait and wait to pay attention. And they finally start to pay attention in the final week. And because of that, those least educated voters are the ones who are most easily swayed by negative advertising. So there's a natural tendency in campaigning to actually make the ads get a little nastier the closer you get to the election. How nice tomorrow will seem. Negative campaigning like that brings out a little bit of a snapshot of our own sinful human nature. There's a basic sinful human impulse in us, a nastiness inside of us that basically says, I can get ahead by putting down someone else. If I harm someone else's reputation, that will make me look better to other people. Now, we all know that that really isn't the way it works. Acting and talking that way actually ultimately makes ourselves look worse, but how tempted I am frequently to think that by using my mouth to destroy someone else's reputation and to dismantle it is going to somehow make me look better in the eyes of the people to whom I'm speaking. Now, St. Paul addresses this very issue in the little verse before us from Romans chapter 14. And we may wonder, why does he have to bring this up to such a strong congregation of Christians in Rome? This congregation in these early years and days is known and talked about in the other writings of the church as just being this amazing church and having to deal with persecution and difficulty, and yet they loved doctrine. They loved the doctrine of justification. They were so dedicated to Christ. They even were used in the early years to try to help other congregations. Why in the world would St. Paul have to talk to the congregation in Rome so pointedly and remind them about this? Well, they struggle with the same kinds of temptations that we do, those same kinds of sins. The context of this text before us is kind of interesting. There were apparently stronger Christians in the congregation in Rome that were occasionally using their Christian freedom on subjects that maybe God had not particularly addressed, that weren't necessarily sinful, but using their Christian freedom kind of casually in a way that other weaker Christians were surprised by that, and it was throwing them off in their faith and causing them to question their faith. And the point that Paul is really making here is to be careful to use the freedom that you have as a Christian in a way that will serve and build up the body of Christ. Think about what you say. Think about what you do. Think about how you act, so that it is edifying to other people, and how it might impact your brother or sister in Christ. You know, talking bad about people is such an easy sin for me. It just comes so naturally out of my sinful heart. And words are so easy to just say, and they just go out into the air, and we think it's no big deal. But man, the damage it can do. When we hear that people are talking bad about us and find out that some gossip has been passed on about us, boy, does that hurt. But it's so easy on the other end to just throw it out there. And especially in groups and in conversations where we're talking about individuals, even people right inside of the sanctuary, how easy it is for us to just malign the reputation of other people. It's a problem that Christians really wrestle with through the generations. I remember a number of years ago serving a congregation where there was an older pastor's wife that was there, wonderful Christian woman, and she came up to me after I had talked about this in a sermon, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, boy, did I need to hear that. That is a sin that I have struggled with my whole life. The reason that St. Paul must encourage building each other up inside of the church is because even inside of the church, there is a tendency in us to devour each other and to tear each other down and destroy each other's reputations. And it happens every day right here on this campus. And ultimately, what that comes down to is a lack of peace between each other and a deconstructing of each other's reputations. Paul is reminding the Romans and us today that all of Christianity is based around the concept of peace and around the concepts of edification and building up. Those very essential ideas and concepts, you could say, are at the core of the Christian faith. Think about the peace that God has purchased and won for each one of us through the death of Christ. That peace that has been established between wicked, sinful people like me and you and this holy God in heaven, that peace that's been established through the blood of Christ is now an objective peace. It's already done. It's already taken care of. Despite whatever sins you may have, even the sins of your mouth, despite how many they have been and how awful or vicious they have been, Christ has established peace between you and a holy God. Earlier in the book of Romans, Paul says it so beautifully. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he doesn't say we can have peace or we might have peace or there's a possibility in the future. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a done fact. And that objective peace that has been won for you has been delivered to you through God's word and in the waters of baptism and made your own. When your heart by faith grabs onto that and possesses that forgiveness of your sins, that now becomes a subjective peace for you from God to you. And so as recipients of that most marvelous peace from God, as recipients of having been built up because of what Christ has done, our Lord Jesus now wants to see that same peace and edification flow from us into the church. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In commenting on this text, a theologian by the name of Martin Franzmann wrote these words. The God of peace, who gave to men their Prince of Peace, wants peacemakers for his sons. The Christ who builds his church does his work through men who upbuild one another. So peace and edification go hand in hand. They fit together in the church. In the ancient church, John Chrysostom said, without peace, it is impossible to edify anyone. And if you really think that's true, that is very true. When you strive to make peace and strive to serve a weaker brother in the faith, when you speak to them in a positive way, in a way that attempts to upbuild them and lift them up, you are doing constructive work in the kingdom of God. The very words from your tongue and from your mouth can be used by God as the hammer, nails, and beams to build up the body of Christ. Listen to Paul's words again. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Consider how God has made peace with you and how he has edified you. He now calls you fellow citizens of heaven, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God who've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. How much better and greater peace could there be? How much more edifying words toward you could there ever be? May we, by faith in God's grace, live as beneficiaries of eternal peace and live as beneficiaries of eternal divine edification. Amen. Please rise for prayer. And we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in the multitude of your mercy, hear us in the truth of your salvation. Let your protecting hand be over our country and over all who travel. Prosper what is good among us and bring to naught every evil counsel and purpose. Protect and bless your servants, the President of the United States, the governor of this state, our judges and magistrates and all in authority, fit them for their high calling by the gift of your spirit of wisdom and fear, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy. Lord, be our helper. Amen.
Understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Go in peace.